Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Big welcome as well to some of the special guests. Some of you were with us right at the start, so it's a great honor for us to have you here in the room with us. Over the past 15 years, it's been a really amazing thing to see God take a small group of people that we gathered in living rooms and dreamt about a church that might start in the city of Perth to see where it is today. But I do believe that God has got an amazing 15 more. He's got an amazing 15 more. You know, vision is such a powerful thing. And, the Lord gives us the ability to perceive the future. And I just genuinely believe that vision is the magnet that pulls us into our tomorrow. But the greatest enemy of vision is not blindness necessarily. It's often distraction. And so I want to say to you today that for the next 15 years, we're going to live out what God has called us to live out, and we're not going to be distracted. We're going to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. We're going to keep it all about Jesus. We're going to keep it the main thing the main thing. And so I want to speak with you out of Ephesians chapter 3 today. Who's ready for the Word of God? Come on, Nations Church Perth. Who's ready for the Word of God? Nations, we're going to go to Ephesians 3, verse 20, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. We're going to read verse 20 and 21. It says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." That did me good to read that. Come on, if that resonates with you, say amen. "Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is our prayer and our declaration for 2019, that there is more, that God has got more for us. Come on, do you agree with me? Today we're going to declare that though we've had a good 15 years, God has got greater 15 more for us. Here's the thing about Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. You need to understand that when we read a passage of Scripture like this, it's actually impossible for us to appropriate the Scripture. It is impossible for us to integrate the truth in the Scripture by trying to reason with it. That was Paul's whole point. He's saying to the Ephesian church, the God that you serve is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could reason with, that you can logically conceive of. And so for us to integrate the truth and step into everything that Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 has for us, we need to appropriate it by faith. It is the only way that we can integrate the truth of Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. It is to step in out of the realm of understanding into the realm of faith. Because I want us to get to the end of 2019 and say to each other, I could have never imagined that God could do this in my family. I could have never imagined that God would do this in our marriage. I could have never imagined that God could do this in my business or in my career or in my kids. And to do that, you got to stop trying to wrestle with it out of your logic, but step into a faith realm to integrate Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Come on, are you out there? And whenever we speak about something like this that has to have a strong element of faith, I understand that in a room full of believers like this, some of the most challenging things to do is to cast a vision that is faith-based to people that have been around a really long time. Because you're in a room like this, and maybe I don't know what your history is, but I think one of the greatest enemies of more, if you like, is not less, but it's enough. One of the greatest enemies of more is not less, but it's enough. The greatest enemy of Ephesians 3, 20 to 21 is not less, but it's a settling for enough. Paul asserts to the Ephesian church that we serve a God who gets all the glory when we believe that He can do infinitely more than what we might ask or we might think. And He gets glory in the church through Christ Jesus for generations, forever and ever. That's where the glory is. But the greatest enemy of that is a church that simply settles for enough. We believe for healing, but we settle for enough that, with my chronic illness, maybe if all I get is 2 flare-ups this year instead of 4 or 5 like I usually do, that's enough. Or maybe if God just does a little bit for me in this era of my finances, just helps me to get by to pay the rent this week, that's enough. I want to submit to you today that we're going to be a church that steps out of the enough zone and into the infinitely more zone. Because that's the kind of church our city needs. That's the kind of church cities in Australia needs. That's the kind of church nations of the world need. Not a church of just enough, but a church that integrates truth by faith. You know, if enough is the enemy of more, we need to know where enough comes from. That mindset of enough is actually bred and nurtured and nourished in the environment of past disappointments. We settle for enough because we've been disappointed in the past. And so you hear a declaration like this and you're probably sitting there and go, oh, PK, I've believed in that in the past, but God didn't come through for me because I prayed once. That was funny in my head. Oh, I believe for that last year, but you know, it hasn't happened yet. And so we bring our past disappointments from yesterday and frame our future with it. I want to say this to you today. If we're going to be a church that integrates the truth of this declaration in Ephesians 3, 20 to 21, then we need to shut the door on past disappointments. We press reset from today onwards. Come on, Vision Sunday. We press reset of all the things that hasn't happened yet, and we're going to say yes to believing in Ephesians 3, 20 to 21, because what God has for us in tomorrow is going to be far greater than what He hasn't done yet. Come on, are you out there? Our community needs a church that knows how to shut their doors on past disappointments and bring a living hope to a hopeless situation. Our communities need that. Our cities need that. You know, Jesus knows that our inheritance is in the infinitely more. Come on, you need to understand that Jesus didn't come just to give you enough. What did He say in John chapter 10? He says this, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy, but I come that they might have just enough to get by. Does Jesus say that? He says, I came that they may have, they being you and I, may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. If that doesn't sound like more, I don't know what. Come on. See, believing for more is actually a choice we get to make every day. You get to choose between settling for enough or believing for more. And sometimes believing for more actually looks like daring to ask, daring to speak it, daring to declare it. Jesus happened upon a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. In the book of Mark chapter 10, the writer of the book of Mark says this, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road, verse 47. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, be quiet, many of the people yelled at him. How many of you know that when you start believing for more, people are going to ask you to tone down? Pipe down, Christian. Pipe down. But he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man, cheer up. They said, come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. How many of you know that when Jesus asks a question, he's not looking for information? Jesus was asking blind Bartimaeus to vocalize his decision. What do you want me to do for you? To which the blind man said, my rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Mark chapter 10, we opened the passage by reading that a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, not only was he blind, but he was also a beggar. There were two labels, blind beggar. In that space, Bartimaeus had a decision. Does he ask this walking past person called Jesus for coins for the day, or does he ask him for sight for a lifetime? He had to choose. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you today? I can do just enough for you, which is give you some coins for the day, or I can give you sight for a lifetime. To which Bartimaeus said, I want to see. I want to get out of this lifetime of begging. I want to get out of just having enough day to day. I want to be part of a church that dares to ask, yes, I've had part of a healing today, but I'm believing for the next 15 years, I'm going to be completely symptom-free. Yes, I can see some change in behavior in my teenage children, but I'm going to believe in the next 15 years they're going to serve Jesus. They're going to be worshiping with me every Vision Sunday. Come on now. You get to choose. You get to choose. Jesus is asking, what do you want me to do for you? I want to submit to you, stop asking for just a few coins for today and step into, I'm believing for infinitely more. I know it sounds crazy. People are going to ask me to pipe down. People are going to ask me to shut up. People are going to ask me to, come on, go back in your corner. Don't say nothing. I'm going to keep believing that the God who says I'm going to do infinitely more is faithful to do far more in the next 15 than he has in the last 15. We get to choose to believe for more. The Bible also gives us an account in the Gospels out of Luke chapter 5 when Jesus shows up to the shores of Galilee and he sees some fishermen, career fishermen, that have been fishing all night for nothing, no fruit, no fish. They're already carrying the disappointment of being skilled fishermen, fishing their patch of the river, probably for generations handed down from their father and their father's father before them. They're taught all night, doing all of the tricks, putting the burley out, figuring out where all the drop-offs, the tidal changes, doing everything. When Jesus shows up, they were tired, they'd washed their nets, and they were ready to clock off. Jesus, in typical Jesus form, shows up when it's least convenient. How many of you know Jesus likes to show up when it's least convenient? When you've already washed your nets and you've clocked off. And it says this in Luke 5, verse 4, when Jesus had stopped speaking, he then said to Simon, which then Simon became Peter, asked him to do this, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. What are you talking about, carpenter? I'm the fisherman here. A carpenter telling a fisherman what to do, that's insanity. For those of you that are carpenters, I'm a fisherman, don't ever tell me how to rig up because I know how to fish. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and the net was breaking. Note this, Jesus said, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch, plural. To which Peter said, okay, at your word, I'll let down the net. Just one. Have you ever said that to Jesus before? Jesus is asking you to go all out. But he said, okay, Lord, at your word, I'll do half. I'm the only unholy one in all of Perth Convention Center. I should be sitting down. To which the Bible then says that with the one net that Peter put out, it was so full to breaking point that he had to call other boats in to help. This is what Jesus was trying to teach Peter. Jesus didn't run out of fish, he ran out of net. You get to choose every day whether you want to put out all of your nets or just put out the one. I'm a believer just for that little measure, and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to settle for more. See, the enemy wants you to settle for less, enough. He wants you to settle for enough. Just be happy with that. Just be happy with that result this year. You don't need to trust God with that. Your doctor can help you with that. If you just put a few things in place. See, God doesn't get the glory in enough because you can sort enough out yourself. You can do enough in your own strength. But infinitely more, you're going to need God for that. Infinitely more starts where you're doing just enough to get by finishes. Come on. In the Old Testament, we see an account in 2 Kings chapter 4 where the prophet Elisha comes to a widow who had nothing much left to live off but a jar of oil to sell so she can get food and a portion and maybe, you know, ration until she had not enough left and then she would die quietly. The prophet shows up to her house and says to her, what do you have left? She said, prophet, I only have one jar of oil left. To which the prophet says to her, I want you to go knock on every neighbor's door and get every flask, every canister, every Tupperware, every pot that you can find. Come on, I want you to bring it into the house. And as many pots as she could bring in, as many canisters, as many flasks, as many carafes as she could steal from her neighbors, she got it into the house, to which every single empty vessel was filled up to the point where she had no more jars. And the Bible says the oil stopped flowing after she ran out of jars. What was God teaching this woman, that God never runs out of oil, we just run out of jars. God never runs out of healing, we just run out of belief that he can heal more. Come on. God never runs out of revival, we just stop believing that maybe we'll settle for enough. Three people giving their heart to Jesus is enough. Come on. I want to be part of a church that says no to enough, steps out of the enough zone and into the more zone, because God has more for us. Walking into our shared future takes courage and it takes great faith. I don't want to walk into our tomorrow with a church that's happy to settle for enough. See, when you're here today, you know, I don't know which part of the spectrum you're in. You might have been following Jesus for the last 4, 5, 6 decades. I don't know. But you need to know that you're never too old to believe that God has more for you. You are never too old to believe that God. You can't just leave that to the new Christians, to the young people up the front. Oh, the young ones, I'll settle for enough. Come on, to my dying breath, I want to believe for more. To the last days of my life, I want to believe for more. I want to model to the next generation that there is always more, that we serve a God who is unchanging. The God who wants to do infinitely more today is going to do infinitely more in your tomorrow and the day after. We're about to step into not a new season as a church, but a new era. Do you know that seasons and eras are different? Seasons come by again. We know what winter's going to look like. We're not in winter yet, but winter's coming. Come on, we're going to change our outfits. Some of you swap out your summer and winter wardrobe. Some of you do that. Yeah, because we know that seasons are coming. We've seen seasons come and go before. We're not about to walk into a new season. We're about to walk into a new era. A new era is something we've never seen before. We've never walked into before. And that is our shared future. And regardless of where you've come from, maybe you've been here the last 15 days and decided to make Nations Church your home, or whether you've been right from the start, we are pressing reset from today, because the shared future that we have is a new era that we're all going to walk into together as equals. As equals. And over the last 15 years, we've seen God do incredible things, and our church has clearly evolved over that time. It feels like, I don't know, Chrissy and I lived in a house for 16 years in Parkwood, and you know, being in the same house over that many years, you kind of look back at what you've done in the house, and it feels like at different stages in being in that house, we kind of added things on and taken things out. So it felt like, you know, all that the tiles are like 5 years old, but the kitchen's sort of 2 years old because we did that 2 years ago. The pergola, that was, you know, from the original, you know, part of the house, and the laundry, that's been neglected from like day dot, because the laundry is always neglected. Hello, come on, no one ever sees the laundry. Come on, you do up the front part first, or is it just me? Maybe I'm just cheap. You just spend money on the things that matter, right? And so, you know, it feels like things are kind of tacked on, and across the last 15 years of our church, we've written a vision statement, which is this massive paragraph that's aspirational about the church we want to become. And we had a mission statement that talked about the things that we're going to be doing within our church. We had a message, the things that we said outside of the four walls of our church, and so on and so forth. And I just feel like in the last 6 to 7 months, the Lord has actually been challenging Chrissy and I to press reset. And we're actually going to jettison our old vision statement. We're going to jettison our all the other words that we've had to describe our church. Our 8 cultures are remaining, because that's really what people experience when they come to Nations Church, and that's who you are, that you are people that are about faith, that you are about authenticity, that you're about encounter, that you're about wholeness, that, you know, that you're about others, that you're about serving Jesus and his church, that you're about reaching those far from God, and that you're about the generations. That's who people experience. That's what people experience when they come to our church. But I really feel so strongly that for the first time in the history of our church, God has actually given us a mandate. A mandate is not like an instruction. It is not even like a mission. It's not like a commission. A mandate is a non-negotiable must-do, must-be-fulfilled, don't-you-come-back-until-it's-done. That's what a mandate is. You need to also understand that a mandate is not something we can come up with. A mandate has to be, by definition, given by a higher authority. And we feel like the Lord has actually given this mandate to us. And this mandate answers the single most important question that you all in the room need to be able to answer. It is this: why does Nations Church exist? It answers the single question: why does Nations Church exist? It is a question that is very important, because if we don't know why Nations Church exists, then what are we doing here? But it answers a single question: why does Nations Church exist? And the answer to that is our mandate, that the lost would be found, that disciples would be made, and the nations would be reached. One mandate, that the lost would be found, that disciples would be made, and that nations would be reached. No matter where we go, that question's gonna be answered: why are you here? Why are you in this country? Why are you in this city? Why are you in this building? That the lost would be found, that disciples would be made, that nations would be reached. They're gonna say that in so many different languages. They're gonna say that in Khmer. They're gonna say that in Gaelic. Who knows what the other languages they're gonna say it in, but we are going to continue to burn with a mandate that the lost would be found, that disciples would be made, that nations would be reached. Lost found. Disciples made, nations reached. Lost found, disciples made, nations reached. This is going to be our next 15 years. And so if you put our 2019 declaration of infinitely more together with the mandate of our next 15 years, then the clever amongst us are going to understand that God actually has more lost people that are going to be found. Come on. That God has more disciples that are going to be made. That there's going to be more nations that are going to be reached. That are more leaders going to be raised up. More generations, come on, being brought up. Come on, are you out there? More cities. There are more buildings. There are more connect groups. There are more volunteers. Come on, are you out there? There's more finance. There is more healing. There is more recorded miracles. More, more. This is not just a catchphrase. You got to understand that my job as a leader, my job as your pastor, is actually to prepare you for eternity. Did you know that? My job is to prepare the bride for eternity, to prepare you for. See, I don't know where you're at today with what you believe, but I want to say this to you. Most of us believe that the day will come where we'll all stand before Jesus and give an account for our lives. We will all do that. And the Lord actually gave me this picture. I pictured myself having this conversation with Jesus, but my heart is to prepare you to have that conversation. The day is gonna come where Ken Fletcher is gonna stand before Jesus. And if Jesus were to say to Ken, you've given the bulk of your life to see the lost found, to see disciples made, to see nations reached. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I can tell you now, Ken Fletcher's gonna take that. He will take that any day of the week. If you were to stand before God one day and he would say to you, thank you so much, you've given your life to seeing the lost found, disciples made, nations reached. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on, you gotta be happy with that. I want the Lord to say to me on the other side of eternity. I don't want him to comment on my clothes, the size of my TV, how many Instagram posts I had, how many Facebook likes I had. I don't want him to comment about the fact that I had a really cool haircut, a really cool suit. I don't want him to talk about the things that don't matter. I want to stand before Jesus one day, and the only conversation I want to have with him is about the lost being found, disciples being made, and nations reached. I want my sons to walk in the slipstream of what that looks like, to see the lost found, to see disciples made, to see nations reached. As a church, there is no greater privilege for us than to expend our journey with God. Sure, doing day jobs and careers and raising family and putting breakfasts on and packing lunches for kids like we do every week, every day, feels like. Doing the washing and the day-to-day grind of family life, paying the bills, paying the mortgage, paying the rent, whatever that is. But deep down, we know that we're going to be called for more, that ultimately we're on the earth. Why do we exist? To see the lost found, disciples made, nations reached. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.